You have a plan for your business and a vision for its future. So it's important to have a banking partner that works to understand all of your goals and what it will take to help you reach them. Work with a banker who is dedicated to listening first and providing insightful, personalized advice that's right for you and your business. Work with Bremer Bank, because understanding is everything. Put us to work for you today at bremer.com.
The best healthcare is there in ways big and small. There when we most and least expect it. We may not see it, but we feel it. It lets us know we're not in this alone. Everyone deserves a healthcare partner who never quits. One who's there for what matters. United Healthcare. There for what matters.
Want your boss to put some real action behind the rhetoric when they talk about making your workplace more inclusive? Find out how to hold their feet to the fire and demand diversity on the Diversity Dude podcast.
Hello there, and welcome back to the Diversity Dude podcast. I'm your host, Lambert Fisher, marriage and family therapist, award-winning author, and national speaker on the topic of multicultural awareness and diversity. And for those of you who are interested in even more positive, encouraging tips and strategies beyond what I share in podcasts like this, then feel free to check out my award-winning book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, nationally recognized for the unique way in which it addresses the often difficult topic of multicultural awareness and diversity. Designed for more than just therapists, if you're a helping professional in any way, Diversity in Clinical Practice can help you meet the greatest variety of cultural needs possible for those whom you serve. And it's available in paper and audiobook versions for your convenience. And whether it be through my one-on-one relationship building efforts as a therapist or my informing and empowering efforts as an author or speaker, know that my personal mission is to do my part to improve the world one strengthened relationship at a time. So today I want to share with you a few encouraging words about why does everything have to be about race? So in a recent podcast, I addressed the experience of racial gaslighting, the phenomenon where efforts are made to convince people that their concerns about race and how it impacts their lives are essentially not based in reality and are instead all in their heads. To hear how I addressed that experience, I encourage you to go back and listen to that encouraging message after the conclusion of this one. Today, I'd like to spend a little more time on just one point that was made during that message, and that is the frequent experience of expressing the question, why does everything have to be about race? Now, beliefs about the motivation behind this question often influence how it's answered. More specifically, sometimes it is believed, accurately or inaccurately, to be more of a statement rather than a question, where why does everything have to be about race is really an expression of frustration that people can't stop talking about race and that they should stop talking about race because it's inconvenient that they're still talking about race and so on and so on. Now, this statement often conveys the message that the concerns and needs of those who are still talking about race don't really matter and otherwise not important enough to still be a topic of discussion. While this isn't always the case, it is unfortunately often the case and does need to be acknowledged. In addition, sometimes the question of why does everything have to be about race is actually a genuine question, motivated by a genuine desire to learn more about what makes race such an important topic of discussion to many people for those who it doesn't seem to be as important to. Especially since it's admittedly often a divisive topic and a seemingly easy solution for many for how to solve the problem of such a divisive topic is simply to not talk about it anymore. However, while this may be convenient for some, that option would not be equally beneficial for everyone. So in order to help you navigate this discussion, if you find yourself having been asked the question or in a personal or professional environment where the question is asked, then here are a few considerations that can help you contribute to a less divisive relational outcome. Consideration number one, so many things are about race because historical experiences have made it about race. You see, you need to go look no further than the origins of this country and then continue through years of slavery in this country to see the way skin color and racial distinctions were used to separate people into groups of essentially good guys and bad guys. Those who should be trusted and loved, and those who should be feared and hated. Over time, not because of time, but because of the hard work and sacrifices of so many known and unknown heroes over the years, many things have indeed changed. But that change was gradual, and that change is still not complete. Even when slavery ended, there was segregation, which was more than just a legal reality, but a relational reality, perpetuating racial distinctions and belief systems. Then formal segregation ended, but there was still informal discrimination from those who held the belief that just because I can't legally exclude you from my services and resources doesn't mean I can't severely inconvenience you. Why? Because the laws changing didn't immediately change the beliefs and messages of distrust passed down from generation to generation. Not only that, but that only speaks to the most common Black versus white struggle in this country, and is significantly more than that. As I've discussed frequently, just as there are many other racial and ethnic cultural experiences worth learning about beyond the Black and white limitations we often talk about, there are also consequently many other racial and ethnic ways of being and living that are unfortunately the source of biased perspectives, negative and skewed beliefs, and discriminatory behaviors. And without even the need to prove that race matters, the pattern of hate for some and cautiousness and fear for others has unfortunately continued. After all, people often trust what and who they are most familiar with. As a result, the more division and separation there is, the less opportunities there will be to gain the positive experiences necessary to challenge these negative beliefs. Which leads to a second consideration. So many things are about race because so many people still use race today to determine how they interact with others. One of the implied messages behind the question of why does everything have to be about race is belief that if we just stop talking about it, it'll go away and it'll be no longer relevant. However, that's not how biases work. It's not how misunderstandings or misperceptions work. Even if we don't verbally acknowledge the bias or even consciously acknowledge the bias, biases influenced by racial distinctions and beliefs can still impact our interactions with others. And as mentioned, since many don't make the most of opportunities to broaden their relational experiences outside of those who look like them, they will likely draw inaccurate conclusions about who they don't know. And at least some of those conclusions are likely to be influenced by cautious efforts to protect themselves from perceived unknown threats. This reason alone motivates many people to defend their racial biases and thus their negative treatment toward others. You see, some who have been accused of unjustified and seemingly unprovoked negative treatment toward others of a different race or ethnicity have even defended their behaviors, explaining, "How was I supposed to know they weren't intending to harm me? You can understand why I thought that, right? I have a right to protect myself from threats, right?" And here's the most important aspect for many. To many, the answer to the question of why does everything have to be about race is, I don't have the luxury of not constantly being aware of race, especially when racial differences and beliefs are often being used to justify harmful actions toward me and people I care about, all because my existence was perceived to be a threat to them, worth preemptively defending against. Which naturally leads to consideration number three. Even if everything shouldn't always be about race, many still consider race and ethnicity to be one of the many important aspects of their identity. You see, even if we get to a place in society where race doesn't have to be the only or even the most important aspect of a person's identity, it's still worth acknowledging that for many, it will continue to be a very important aspect of their identity, among many other aspects of their identity, worth taking the time to get to know and hopefully appreciate. For many, while their racial and ethnic background is indeed important to them, so are also their gender identification, their age, primary language, socioeconomic status, educational achievements, their geographic region, and so many more ways in which people see themselves as similar to or different from others. And as a result, we will continue to have the opportunity to either appreciate the unavoidable differences we encounter on a daily basis or view them as unknown threats to our well-being. One thing worth acknowledging here is that sometimes people seem to be focused so much on race, not because they want to, but because it's the only thing that matters to them? No. But because as one of the many things that matters to them, any perceived attempt to unjustifiably delete or minimize it makes them hold on to, defend, and proclaim it even louder than they would otherwise feel the need to do so, all in order to protect it from being deleted altogether. However, we need not delete the seemingly divisive topic of race in order to make progress. Instead, we need to acknowledge that race is one of the many aspects of a person's identity, that they can choose to value and express a little, a lot, or somewhere in between, alongside of other aspects of the identity worth learning about. The more race and ethnicity are viewed as inconvenient differences and automatic threats, the more there'll be a need to keep it front and center in order to reasonably protect oneself from the offensive efforts of those who feel they need to be offensive to defensively protect themselves from those who are different. My hope for you is that you would join the effort to learn as much as reasonably possible about the values and experiences of those from different racial or ethnic backgrounds, resulting in less and less perceived need to maintain skewed and biased perspectives. The more difficult it'll be to perceive others as automatic threats, and creating more mental and emotional time and space to value racial and ethnic identity alongside many other aspects of a person to the degree that it matters to them. And with that, I'll say thanks again for listening to today's Diversity Do podcast. If you have any pressing diversity-related questions that you'd like me to address on an upcoming podcast, or if your organization is in need of a shame-free and empowering guest speaker or training on this often sensitive topic, then feel free to reach out to me directly at www.diversitymadesimple.com. And if you know anyone else who can benefit from a positive and encouraging perspective on this often difficult topic of diversity, feel free to send them a link to this podcast so they can be encouraged as well, or share with them my award-winning book, Diversity in Clinical Practice, available at Amazon.com. And as usual, I look forward to addressing as many topics as possible in future podcasts to help you improve as many relationships as possible at work, at home, and in your community. And as always, remember this: you don't need to know everything about everyone in order to have a positive impact on someone. Thank you all for tuning in, and have a great day.
Tune in each week and find out how to demand and implement diversity at your job. To hear more, check out previous Diversity Dude shows on ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com.
People say we're made up. Tall tales. Myths. Think what you want about us, but we can all be certain of this. Recycling is real, and it works. But what happens to your recycling once it leaves your home? Recycled glass is sorted in St. Paul. Then the clear glass is made into bottles for drinks, pickles, salad dressing, and more in Shakopee. At other facilities, plastic bottles get made into new plastic bottles. Recycling exists. Learn the real story behind recycling.
If you live in an older home, it may contain lead-based paint on walls, woodwork, and windows. Even more bad news, lead exposure can be dangerous to young children and impact their brain development. And now, the good news. Hennepin County will fix lead hazards in your home at no cost to you.
We were worried because of the paint in the windows in the bedroom. They were peeling and chipping, and we know that when paint peels and chips, and it looks a certain way, that's possibly lead. We were worried for our children more so than anything.
Eligible homes can qualify for up to $15,000 in upgrades. You may even qualify for new energy-efficient windows. Don't worry, Hennepin County has a trusted list of pre-approved contractors. You won't even have to find companies with correct licenses or certifications.
I've just done a test and it's positive. So we know that this is lead-based paint, and we know it's a hazard because it's creating dust every time this window moves and opens. And if you look in here, that's just full of lead paint chips.
You won't have to stay with your cousin while you're getting the lead out. Hennepin County even pays for you and your family to stay in a hotel while the work is underway. The last good news is how easy it is to apply. Just go to hennepin.us/lead control to get started.
I'm really happy with the program. We can go to bed knowing that our children are safe.
That's hennepin.us/lead control. Tell your friends about it.
It's not just another day in your life. Things are changing for the better. At Comcast, we see those changes and we're thinking about how we use technology today to live, work, learn, and play. And we're building for the future now, so we're better prepared for the wants and needs of tomorrow. That's why Comcast is rolling out multi-gig internet speeds to more than 50 million homes and businesses before the end of 2025, making our already industry-leading network even faster, smarter, greener, and more reliable. Over the decades, Comcast has been your partner, working hard to serve your community, and will continue to be your partner. we're expanding our gigabits so you can enjoy the tiny bits that matter most.
You know Shaletta makes you laugh, but did you know Shaletta Brundage can also make you think and boost your business? Media personality, activist, and comedian Shaletta Brundage founded Shaletta Makes Me Laugh to celebrate and share the best of Black culture. It's a podcasting platform. You can download 10 weekly podcasts hosted by African-American subject experts at ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com or wherever you find your favorite podcasts. ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com is also a production house creating broadcast-quality commercial content. And Shaletta and her team of storytellers create powerful promotional campaigns to get businesses the brand awareness they're looking for. Some of Minnesota's top businesses trust Shaletta, and you can too. Get out the word about your events and products and get in front of communities of color with ShalettaMakesMeLaugh.com. She's got the power to help your business.
Are you a woman known as a good listener? Do you have skills in de-escalating situations? Are you what they call a people person? Then the Minneapolis Police Department would like to meet you. Now in a rebuilding phase, the Minneapolis Police Department is recruiting more women to wear the badge. The department offers career options for women with a high school diploma or GED. There are also opportunities for women with 2 and 4 year degrees who are ready to apply their skills in new ways. Police work makes a great second career for social workers, teachers, nurses. Women in their 30s and 40s are welcome to apply. There's no age cap. You'll be paid while you train and mentored by veteran women officers invested in your success. Minneapolis also welcomes current police officers to join the state's largest department. Make a difference on the streets, working in your community, in a career with competitive salaries and generous benefits. Go to MinneapolisMN.gov and search police jobs to find out more.
Many people who test positive for COVID-19 manage their symptoms, downtime, and isolation with ease. But COVID-19 presented a risk of severe illness for others in our community. Age is a risk factor in babies under 6 months and in folks 65 and older. Contracted COVID-19 creates the risk of getting very sick for people who are immune compromised, disabled, or those who have been diagnosed with underlying medical conditions that include diabetes, cancer, chronic kidney, liver, or lung, or even heart conditions. This risk is high for those who are obese or overweight. Being pregnant or just having delivered a new baby is also considered a risk factor for severe illness. If you are at high risk for severe disease, avoid crowded places and consider wearing a mask in public. If you have any symptoms, take a self-test right away, and if it's positive, contact your healthcare provider even if the symptoms are mild. And of course, be sure to stay up to date with COVID-19 vaccines. That's especially important for people living with risk factors.
Are you getting older and feeling concerned about staying safely in your own home? Or maybe it's your folks you're worried about. I get it. It's not easy getting older, especially when the house is starting to show its age too. There is help available.
Individuals want to maintain and stay in their own homes for as long as they can. In Rebuilding Together Minnesota, we provide the opportunity, we provide the programs for them to do that.
Rebuilding Together Minnesota has been helping eligible older Minnesotans and those with disabilities stay safe and healthy for more than 20 years.
Our central AC unit was non-functional. We had plugged a portable unit into the living room. What ended up happening was our electrical outlet melted, and it was getting to be 90 degrees in here. Meyer was told about Rebuilding Together Minnesota by his daughter.
She said, "Well, Daddy, you need to sign up." I said, "Do I qualify?" She said, "Well, you're a disabled veteran, you qualify."
So we provided a new air conditioning unit for the homeowner and also new electrical service all through this veterans program that we have.
Thanks to Tom and Rebuilding Together Minnesota, we're able to maybe go out and get a hamburger every now and then.
To find out if you qualify, go to rtmn.org. That's RTMN for Rebuilding Together Minnesota. Or if it's easier, call 651-776-4273 and tell your friends. Trust me, this is news they can use.